was going to preach again out of the book of Acts today, but I felt led of the Lord to deviate and celebrate the Valentine, I guess, holiday. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 57. I felt the Lord lay something else on my heart to share with you today. And there's a message that God's trying to get out. God knows where you are at. He knows the darkness that's around you. And He knows the discouragement and the pain that you feel. You are not alone in this fight. God is on your side.
Amen.
And so as I preach today, think about these things that we're about to say. And we're bringing a message again to the church for the second time in the past month or so. And take this message to heart. Listen to it and receive it and put it into practice. The Word of God, John in Revelation said, is to be read aloud, to be heard, and to be put into action.
Amen.
So as we preach today, think to yourself, how do I need to put what I hear into action? Psalms chapter 57. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a victim of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts. The children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
Amen.
I want to preach for a few moments to you today, how to heal a broken heart. Lord, we thank you so much for the inspiration that we've been feeling here today.
Amen.
In our Bible classes, in our worship, and now in the preaching, we know that you are present and ready to help. Help us, O God, to hear and help us to take action as the Word gives guidance today. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're going to take action on God's guidance today, would you say amen?
Amen.
What do you do when the leader you trust comes at you, talks trash about you, tries to destroy your life? And what if this leader threatens to ruin the lives of your parents as well? What do you do when difficult, unfair circumstances create distance between you and your best friend in all the world? How do you handle the realization that you may never see them alive again? How do you cope when unexpected tragedy has separated you from your wife and your home? When you're on the run with no one to comfort you. On top of that, your wife divorces you and marries someone else in your absence. How can you find any respite or hope when the only people around you are bitter, broke, discontent, and looking for revenge? How should you react when you've been anointed by the man of God to be great, but events in your life have transpired to hurl you as far away from the position God promised you as you could possibly imagine? Now imagine the pain that any one of these situations could unleash on your heart. What if all these things conspired to happen at the same time? Would you say that a person in this condition would be struggling with a heart that has been broken in 1,000 pieces? Man. Believe it or not, there is a man in the Bible who this happened to. His name was David, the son of Jesse. His great-grandfather was Boaz. His great-grandmother was Ruth, the Moabite, from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. What did David do so wrong that would land him in such a broken place? What sins did he commit? What mistakes could cause such a catastrophe in his life? His mistake was loving God. His mistake was believing and trusting God to defeat a lion and a bear and a giant. His mistake was living close to God, following God's commands, and leading Israel's elite troops into great battles in the war against the Philistines. His mistake was being a man who truly had a heart for God, whose greatest desire was to please God in all he did. David was a man of principle and integrity. And before fame found him, and before the prophet anointed him, before the king favored him, before his wife loved him, David loved God. When he was an outcast of his family, and when he was given the menial and obscure task of leading his father's herds in the wilderness, David loved God. When he had nothing to lose, nothing to prove, and nothing to gain, David sang and worshiped and prayed to his God.
Yes. Amen.
And God trusted David.
Amen.
It was said that he was a man after God's own heart. And if God can trust David, we can trust David. We can trust him to guide us and teach us what to do when our hearts are broken. When our enemies unite to shatter us, David shows us the way to find healing. There are many things he could have done. He could have blamed God. He could have pulled back from his worship and faith. He could have withdrawn into a shell and resigned himself to his fate. He could have adopted the posture of his enemies and pursued revenge. He could have buried his pain with wine and carnal pleasures. He could have simply given up, but that is not what he did. I wish somebody could hear what the Spirit is trying to say to you today. There are many poor choices you could make to deal with your broken heart, but hear me today, that's not you. There are many lies whispering in your ears. There are many things you could be tempted to say and do. But hear me today. They will only make you more miserable and make things way worse. But if you'll hold on, God will find you in the middle of your brokenness. And He will let you know that everything is going to turn out okay. God's plan is working for your good.
Yes, very much.
This is what happened to David. He was in the wilderness in a cave and he was hiding from King Saul. But while he was pressed against the cave wall as far back as he could get, in the darkness and shadows, at his lowest moment, God gave him a glimmer of hope and started the process of healing his broken heart. As David hid there in the cave with a couple of his warriors, King Saul decided to step into the cave for a potty break. God's deliverance comes in the strangest of ways. And David was so close to Saul that he was able, the Bible says, to cut off the edge of his garment. He could have killed Saul right there. He could have taken matters into his own hands and ended his miserable season of heart-shattering experiences. Instead, something almost forgotten reasserted itself in David's heart. And we can learn from David today how to heal when our hearts appear to be irreparably damaged. The first thing David did by pure instinct was to take refuge in his God.
Amen.
In Psalm 57:1, he says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge." Amen. Where do you go when your heart is breaking? Where do you go when your enemies are conspiring? Where do you go when your plans are faltering? You take refuge in your God. He said, "In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." You get in the shelter of the wings of our Savior and you stay there as long as need be. You stay in His presence. You stay in prayer. You stay in fasting. You stay in the Word. You stay in worship. You stay in the church as long as it takes. Unwavering. It was something buried deep in his soul. It was in his DNA, passed down to him from his great-grandmother Ruth. Boaz said to Ruth in the book of Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, he said to her, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Hallelujah. David knew what to do in the storm because he learned it from his mama, who learned it from his grandmama. And he turned to God when his heart was broken. I'm not sure I understand why people want to run from God when their lives are coming apart at the seams. Our first instinct should be like that of any child in danger. Run to our parents and find safety. We should run to God for refuge whenever danger lurks or when it rears its evil head. Amen. Listen here to what David had to say about taking refuge in God. After all he went through, he wrote this in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 through 4. "And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Oh, you may be going through it now, but God's writing a song on your heart that one day you're going to sing back to Him with praise and glory and joy. Amen. That you did not know in the trial. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Amen. And I am saved from my enemies. This is a very simple concept born out in prayer. Talking to God about our pain, calling on Him for help, crying out to Him for mercy, stretching our faith to believe that God will fulfill His purpose in our lives. This is very similar to the lesson we studied on how to pray when you're in a funk. How many of you remember that study? If you heard that message, you'll remember the first step is getting out all your pain and disappointment in prayer. The one you pour your pain out to, the one you share your brokenness with, is the one you take refuge in.
Yes.
There are many we could share these most intimate hurts with, and oftentimes do. But the only one that can bring healing is God, most high. And that's the easy part. The next step to healing a broken heart is shifting from complaining, crying, and calling to God for help to give Him praise. I told you I preached this already. You remember it, Sister Diane. In Psalm 57, 5, 6, and 7, David says in our text, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God."
Hallelujah.
"My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody." At this point in David's life in the cave, his trouble was far from over. He would experience an even greater pain at the death of his mentor than being persecuted by his mentor. Things were going to continue to get worse before they started getting better. But God, somebody say that with me. But God. When David was in his darkest moment in that cave, both literally and metaphorically, God brought King Saul in for a bathroom break. He was showing David that everything was under control. Everything was going to work out eventually. Trust God. You put your trust in me, now sit back and let me do my thing. Hallelujah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast.
Thank you, Jesus.
So many express their brokenness to God but never experience healing because they never take this next step. You can tell God all your troubles and be none better than you were before you told Him. Because that's only half of the process. Hear me today. There are other steps in the process. Have you ever seen, we've mentioned this before and we'll mention it again, have you ever seen anyone filled with the Holy Ghost while they were mired in repentance? Have you ever seen anyone filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit while they were weeping and confessing their sins? No, you never have, you never will. But they always receive the Spirit when there's a transition from the head hanging down in embarrassment and shame and conviction. When God lifts that burden off, their head begins to move up, their hands lift up, and they begin to transition from telling God their brokenness to giving Him praise. And that's when they receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because because they take the next step. God is there for you. He knows what you're going through. He hears your cry. He is your refuge. He is your joy, as well as your healing. He will put the pieces of your broken heart back together.
Hallelujah.
He gives us hope and He gives love. Amen. He cares for us and He feels our every need and pain. Our brokenness draws His compassions. But then our praise and worship draw His joy and strength. And we need both to make it through our trials.
Yes.
We need both to find healing for our broken hearts. And so it's vital for all of us to take this advice. Because all that we know and all that we love hangs in the balance.
Right.
You are a powerful impact on your world. You are an influencer in the Jesus name Pentecostal church. In your home, in your family, in this community, and in the kingdom of God. You are an influencer. And it's important that you not be broken in pieces. Amen. In order for you to be effective at what God has called you to. You must pour out your heart to Him. Take refuge in Him. And then when He shows you that He's still in charge and He hasn't left you once, then it's time for you to turn that around and start giving Him praise again and go through the process of letting God heal your broken heart. And when you do, your influence and the seeds that you are sowing in your home, in your marriage, in the Jesus name Pentecostal church, here in Fairfield and Wayne County, and in the kingdom of God, will begin to have an impact that will build, that will edify, that will lift, that will deliver, that will set free and bring victory to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, misery does love its company. Hallelujah. But allowing God to heal our brokenheartedness can become the transformation not only in our lives but in the lives of all that we hold dear. It heals us first. In Proverbs 17:22, Solomon says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. But when God heals our broken hearts, puts His joy where there was pain. A joyful heart is good medicine.
Amen. Yes.
Dr. Darnell. Dr. Ashley. Dr. Philip. Dr. Carey. You become a doctor of joy.
Yes.
You become a bearer of medicine to those who are in pain. It will emanate from you like waves. It will touch your friends. It will touch your enemies as well. And it will even touch strangers. Isaiah prophesied this vision in Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Jesus of all knew what it meant to have a broken heart. To be betrayed and to be tormented and persecuted. But He turned and took refuge in His God in the Garden of Gethsemane. And though the pain that He had experienced to that point was nothing to compare what was to come the next day. The next 24 hours would be a compounding of all the pain He had experienced to that point. But yet while he prayed, as it were, great drops of blood, God sent angels to strengthen him. Amen. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
And is set down at the right hand of the glory of God in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. In Isaiah 61 verse 4, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. God needs your broken heart healed, because He has a work to do that only a complete heart can perform. Let's stand together today.
Hallelujah.
There is a lot of brokenness in us. I've come to understand as a pastor that to never assume that anyone is okay. That no matter who they are, where they come from, when they join our fellowship, assume that they are broken. We all carry around things, some of it deep down. This may not be the moment today that you're ready to allow the Lord to dig into that mess. I woke up this morning, and I won't share it with you, but I woke up this morning with a dream, and the dream, I believe, reveals deeply buried brokenness in the hearts of people. Deep down, pain of things that they've buried and hidden away. But that nags on them and prevents them from being all that God called them to be. And I say to you today that carry this brokenheartedness around with you, that I applaud you, that many of you, despite your pain, just like Brother Gilbert said today, you get up and you pray anyway. Despite the pieces that your heart is in, yet you still pray and you worship and you believe and you walk the walk. And despite your own invalidity, you still reach out to try to lift others up. Despite the crippling sometimes, desperate loneliness and destitution that you feel down in your soul, you still soldier on. I just want to say to you today, God knows where you're at. He knows your name. He knows the details. Things that no one would know but you. Things that you see and feel in your heart every day, God knows. And He's ready to heal your brokenness. As they prepare to sing in dismissal, in a time of contemplation before we go today, as you bow your heads together and begin to meditate on these things and the touch of the Lord that you felt today, and let God wrap His arms around you, shelter you, shield you from the storm. Let Him remind you that His purpose is working in your life. And though there's pain in the offering, the song we have sung so many times, but God is bringing you to a place of healing. And when He fixes you, rescues you, heals you, puts those pieces back together, you're going to find less frustration in the work that you're called to do. You're going to find less insecurity, the power that God has placed in your life. And you're going to walk with a depth of confidence and love and ability that you did not imagine could ever be possible. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. You feel the Holy Ghost here today. Why don't we come together, and why don't we come to the front together, and let's just pray together with one another for yourself, and reach out to God together today, and let the Word and the presence of God do what needs to be done in our hearts. In the name of Jesus.